The reading today is from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Thank you, Michonne. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Today is the first Sunday in spring. Isn't it? Beautiful day outside. Thank you for coming, and happy Father's Day to those who are celebrating Father's Day. And also, it's the first of a few things, isn't it? We've got few people who have been doing stuff for the first time in the church. We've got Jessie in singing, and we've got Lily in playing the music, and also Phil, first time up front here. So, well done. Thank you for serving us. We're going to come to that passage that we read a bit earlier just then, but before that, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for your love for us, and in your love, you have given us this time, Lord, to pause and, Lord, to spend some time reflecting on your word. So we pray, Lord, that your word will penetrate our hearts. And Lord, that it will bear fruit as the Holy Spirit works in and through us. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're a parent, one of the joys would be to see your child grow, isn't it? Most homes would have a doorpost or a wall that marks the height of your children as they grow. And for me, someone who loves gardening, spring is a season where I start planting things and sowing seeds. And one of the things that gives me joy is to see the seeds kind of sprouting up. So every morning I would go to the garden and just have a look at whether it's come up. And if it has come up, I'll just see like how far it has come up. There's a certain contentment, joy and pride and satisfaction in seeing growth, isn't it? I can say anything could be said about the spiritual growth, isn't it? One of the values of our church here at Baptist Community Church Bode is growth. We become more like Jesus and strive to help others to do the same. It is our desire that we continue to grow as followers of Jesus. We don't want us to remain spiritual babies. We love to see each one of us grow in our understanding and love of God. We love to see us growing in our faith and relationship with God, and growing in our understanding and obedience of God's word. Now, there is a great joy, again, in seeing people grow spiritually and mature, isn't it? The Bible passage that was read to us this morning, once again, encourages on this same journey to grow spiritually. So if you track back a little bit, if you are joining us for the first time, or you haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, last few weeks, we have been studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. the church in Philippi. In this letter, Paul is promoting a Christian joy that is resilient and infectious. But as we saw last week, Paul has picked up this something that kills the joy in the church. Perhaps Epaphroditus, who has come from Philippi with some provisions to Paul in Rome in the prison, has made him aware of some of the tensions in the church. There are divisions in the church. And Paul is aware that these divisions has a negative impact on the gospel. Because a divided church is a useless church. A divided church is no different to the world around it. A divided church has no time, no energy, no motivation to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the outside world because you're focusing inside. A divided church is a sad place to be. There is no joy. So Paul, hoping to address this, he called the church to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, chapter 1, verse 27. And then he talks about standing together, striving together, thinking together, working together, serve one another, we looked at last week, valuing others above yourself. And Paul called the church to put on or take on the mindset, the humble mindset of the Lord Jesus in their relationship with one another. Because humility, Christ-like humility, we said, is the key for unity in the church, isn't it? The passage that we read this morning, Paul turns the spotlight onto another thing that would enable the believers to be united: spiritual growth. A spiritually growing church will be united in the gospel. A spiritually growing church will be united in the gospel. So in verses 12 to 14 in this chapter, we hear Paul appealing for his readers to keep growing spiritually. And verses 15 to 18, Paul shows the readers the outcome of such growth. That's the order we're going to look at it this morning. Now, after this very, very, very grand picture of what Jesus has done, his humility and the exaltation in verses 6 to 11, Paul doesn't break out in a grand big song of praise to God, does he? No, he doesn't. He makes an appeal for growth. Let's get practical with what we've just heard. Because, he says, therefore, because Jesus has humbled himself and died on a cross and he is now exalted as the Lord of heaven and earth, Paul says, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, when I am there with you and now when I am not with you, Paul says, that's great. Isn't it? Here he's commending them, right? Your obedience, your obedience to God's word has been consistent. Well done. So what does he say here? He says, keep at it. Keep up the good work. Don't drop the ball. Now this should be the attitude for all of us, isn't it, in terms of obedience to God's word. Consistency. Not just listening or reading God's word, but doing it, and doing it always. Not only when people are watching, but especially when nobody's watching. Not only when it is convenient or when it's easy, not only when you feel like doing it. We must commit to obey God's word always, in every situation. Make it our lifestyle, of a kind of a default setting that we go to. By obeying God's word, Paul continues, right? He says, you are working out your salvation, continuing to work out your salvation. Now note, he doesn't say work for your salvation here. Because we can't work for our salvation. Because Jesus has already done the work. He has already saved us. His death and the resurrection 2,000 years ago has done everything to make us right with God. It was done, finished, completed. And now because Jesus has done all the work on a cross, we saw back in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul can call his readers, the believers, saints, holy ones of God. You see, our label, our status, our identity has changed from sinner to saint, right? The moment we believed in Jesus. And later today, as we take communion, we will remember and celebrate this truth. But when Paul talks about work out your salvation, what he's saying is, make your salvation, make your sainthood operational. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then live as a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. How do we do that? By obeying the word of Jesus consistently. And Paul also says, do it with fear and trembling. See, we must remember the nature and the character of our God. He is eternal, He is holy, He is righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is a consuming fire. He is the heavenly judge that we will one day face. So we must not lose our awe and reverence for God when we approach Him in prayer, when we read our Bibles, when we come to serve Him. And the thought of disobeying God's word must create great fear and trembling. So don't just drift through the week without a thought of God and His commands, and then come on a Sunday morning and sing beautifully, God, you are holy, you are awesome, you are all powerful, I worship you alone. You see, friends, we are saved by God, but called to obedience. Salvation is not just something we receive, it is also something we do. We must stop being casual about our spiritual growth. It is serious business, isn't it? Paul continues, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. See, Paul seems to say, when we work at our salvation, when we work at our spiritual growth, we can work only because God is at work. How is He at work? Giving us the will, the desire, the longing to obey and to do His will. And not only that, God is the one who gives us the ability to grow spiritually, to obey these commands of God. You see, God has not left us to work out, all right, this is, I wonder what it is to look like following Jesus. Or what is sin and what is not? He hasn't left us to decide this on our own. He is at work through His word, through His spirit, prompting, opening our eyes, renewing our minds. Because spiritual growth, our spiritual maturity is God's desire first and foremost, isn't it? God doesn't want us to remain where we are, friends. Now, we have it as one of our values, not because one beautiful day we all the leaders got together and sat there and we thought, wow, that's a great idea to have as a value. No. It is God's desire that we spiritually grow. Because when we spiritually grow, friends, we are fulfilling, Paul says, God's good purpose. What is the good purpose? And elsewhere in Corinthians, Paul says that we are to be transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus in ever-increasing glory. Paul said that back in chapter 1, verse 6 as well, right? That he has begun a good work in us. And he will complete it on the day Jesus returns. Everyone who has believed in Jesus is a transformation project in progress. You see, God redeemed us. And then he said, I'm going to take away that label of sinner. And then he says, I'm going to put the label of holy and saint on you. And he goes to work, making us saints, holy ones. And so Paul says, continue to do everything without grumbling or arguing. Not just some things, but everything. Every act of obedience, every time you obey, Paul says, drop the grumpiness, drop the critical spirit, stop complaining, why me, why do I have to do this? Stop arguing if one command is more important than the other, straining flies and letting camels in. Just do it. Do it cheerfully, do it willingly, do it realizing that we, when we grow spiritually, we are achieving God's good purposes for us and for the church. Now, what are the outcomes? What are the outcomes of such spiritual growth? The overall outcome, I think Paul is hoping for, is what the reason for this section, isn't it, in the letter? That as the Philippians grow spiritually, that they will be united. Spiritual growth is God's work. It is personal work. It is also work done in community. You know, we recognize that in our church value statement, isn't it? We become more like Jesus and we strive to help one another to do the same. We are in it together, as that popular saying goes, isn't it? Spiritual growth is a church responsibility. Spiritually growing church will be a uniting church or united church. Now, Paul also has some specific other outcomes in mind in these verses, right? The first thing he says will be witnesses of God to the watching world. See, Paul says, so that you may become blameless, pure children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. In a culture that is perverse and wicked and twisted, in a power-hungry, me-first, lustful, immoral culture, we get to resemble, as Phil mentioned earlier, the nature of our Heavenly Father, isn't it? The Father who has called us, His children, to be holy as He is holy. We will stand out as children of God, if you want to remain blameless, pure and faultless, without being contaminated by the world around us, then we must grow spiritually. But we are not just to stand out in the world, right? Verse 15, Paul continues that you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. See, as we spiritually grow, friends, we get to live out the gospel. As we obey the word of God, we become bright light. We become the light to the world, the light of the gospel to the watching world. When we do good, when we help the needy, feed the hungry, house the refugees and forgive our enemies and love our enemies, when we do our work well wherever we work, when we do our studies well, we bring God's love to the world. We bring God's justice, His mercy, His peace, His healing to the world around us. Think about where you are. God has kept you as a light, isn't it? We become like a lighthouse. Lighthouse. It's not only stands out, it is also shining the light so that the ships may go to the harbor. And that's what Jesus said, isn't it, when he said that you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to be witnesses of God. Verse 16, spiritual growth will also be a reason to boast before God. Paul lets the readers know his desire, right? Something that he's craving for on the last day when Jesus returns. He says he looks forward to boasting before God when Jesus returns. On what account? On account of their spiritual growth. Paul says, as you grow spiritually, as you remain faithful to the gospel, I will get to boast. I will get to boast before Christ because of my labor for you. Now, it's not in vain. Because Philippians were a product of Paul's labor, isn't it? He shared the gospel with them. He prayed for them. He guided them. He wrote letters to them. And he says, I want my bragging rights on that last day. I wonder who will boast about you on the day Jesus returns. Who has shared the gospel with you? Who is praying for you? Who is guiding you? Who is counseling you? Who is walking with you in your spiritual journey? And I wonder who you will boast about on that day. If I'm honest, I will look forward to boasting about you all. On your account, I've shared the gospel with some of you, I've baptized some of you, I've got to encourage you every time when I stand here or when I meet with you. Our spiritual growth would be a matter of boasting on the day Jesus returns. Finally, sticking with the tone of this letter, Paul says our spiritual growth is a matter of rejoicing, joy, today. Paul says, even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. What is he talking about? As he thinks about boasting on the last day on their account, he's realizing that day might be not too long. He might actually die. He might be poured out as a drink offering. And why? Because of the sake of the gospel. He is in chains now because he has shared the gospel. And he says, even if I am killed, he says, I have great reason to rejoice because he has seen faith. He has seen the sacrifices they have made because of their faith. They may not be there yet, but they are making good spiritual progress. So he says, I rejoice. Join with me in rejoicing because of the spiritual growth. The spiritual growth brings joy. Joy now, joy in eternity. Now surely it should grieve us, right, when we see Christians don't take spiritual growth seriously. When there's no interest in growing, when there's no interest in reading your Bibles and praying and serving and getting alongside people, when there's no when people are happy, Christians are happy to stay as spiritual babies, always desiring milk, not wanting to go on to solids. It should grieve us. But we must rejoice and celebrate when we see Christians grow spiritually, when they take steps of faith, when we hear them pray, when we hear them serve, when we see people's faith is stretched, when we see the fruit of the Spirit evident in the way they speak, the way they behave, the way they think. We should rejoice when we see people using the gifts that the Spirit has given to serve one another. We must rejoice and give thanks to God for spiritual growth. And we must crave to grow spiritually. Don't decide to stay wherever you are. Grow, grow. Now here are some things to reflect on this week as you go home. You might want to take a photo of this this screen if you want to. Am I growing spiritually? If not, why not? What can I do to grow spiritually? Am I obeying God consistently? Or am I selective? Am I grumpy when I obey God's word? Am I complaining? Do I rejoice in seeing the spiritual growth of others? And where do I need to repent? Things to think about during the week. In a moment, we are going to take part in communion. But before that, I want us to give a moment to reflect. Pause and reflect in silence of what we've heard this morning. Is there anything that God is asking you to do right now? Let's do that for a couple of minutes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for the opportunity for us to pause and think about our spiritual growth. Lord, we thank you that it is your desire that we grow spiritually. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for the work that you have begun. So help us, Heavenly Father, to not just cooperate, but Father, to be willingly allow you to give us the will, the desire, the willingness, and also the strength to obey your word and grow spiritually. Amen.